kind of low on this. Anyone want to back me up over here?
I can do it.
All right, thanks. Just in case. Just as a reminder, tomorrow I will not be giving share of Jonas and Sachs. Shlita will be giving share. Yeah, thanks. So that will be for tomorrow. Thank you very much. So tomorrow it's going to be a very special shear, and get ready, gear up, get your writing implements or whatever ready, work on your typing skills and making sure your brain is in tip top shape. Get your sleep tonight because it's going to be a wild ride. Be'ezras Hashem, looking forward to it tomorrow. Shear is going to be a half hour later because of that. Okay, so that's better than tomorrow. But today you're stuck with me. So let's get started. So we were talking about Tevila, the Tevilas Keiros, but now let's talk a little bit, since the Gemara mentions it. Let's talk about Tevilas Keiros on Shabbos, because this is to me a very fascinating topic. Apparently to the Rishonim also, because they spoke about it a lot. The Gemara in Yevamos Me'vavim Beis talks about Tefilas Ger and talks about that you could do it on Shabbos. So it would seem like that would be so ideal. Even if you guys have never seen a Tefilas Ger, but it's a very exciting moment. We do a little Rikud with them afterwards. They quickly run to Daven Mincha, to say a bracha, to do their first mitzvah as a Jew. It's like a very exciting. So can you imagine if you brought someone into Knesset Yisrael Tachas Kanfei Hashchina on Shabbos? Like, that would be the best, right? That's what the Shabbos is a time of enhanced Hashras HaShechina. As Rav Soloveitchik writes in the Yahrzeit Shir, that on Shabbos we bring the Shechina down to us. On Yantif we go to the Shechina, we go to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lefnei Hashem, Aliyah L'Regel. But on Shabbos the Shechina comes to us. Can you imagine bringing some Tachas Kanfei Hashechina? Shabbos would be the best. But the Gemara says that it would depend on how serious the Tevila is, right? Meaning if the Tevila is Ma'akiv, if the Tevila is for real, you need the Tevila for the Geirus, then it's a problem, because then it's Tikkun Mana, you know, let it be that it's Nirukim Asakein to be Tovel the Ger on Shabbos. But if the Tevila is not really that important, you don't really need the Tevila anyway, so then it would not be a problem. Then you'd be allowed to do Tevilas Ger on Shabbos. So if it's just a mitzvah B'Alma, you could do it on Shabbos, but if it's Ma'akiv, then it's Asur, because Tikkune Gavra B'Shabbos Lo Miskaninan. That we're not Misak a gavra on Shabbos. So the Rishonim discuss whether that is true. What do you mean whether it's true? The Gemara said it. What's wrong with you? How can you say whether that's true? Because there is another Gemara, and that is a Gemara in Maseches Beitza. You always have to have all of the Gemaras in Shas in front of you, meaning to be able to really fully assess any particular shaila. So I was just talking to Rav Sachs last night, as we have photo evidence of, and I mentioned to him the shaila about the Sephardi guy with the sliced bread versus the Egg Challahs, and I said he said, yeah, the Nitziv, the sliced bread is probably the way to go. So I said, one of the things I love about that Nitziv is that his raya is from Baba Kama Ilches, that he brings a raya from like something that's totally nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with Lecha Mishnah, and he just had all of Shas. Rav Sachs said, I always find tshuvas like that inspiring. Meaning, like, that's Torah. Like, to see the totality of Torah and to appreciate that it all fits together. So anyway, so the Rishonim say, over here, you don't have to go to something that's off topic. It's on topic. It just happens to be located in a different Masechta. But in Masechta's Beitz and Daf Yud Ches, it talks about actual Tevila and Tevila on Shabbos. So it's actually mamish on topic. But it comes to a different conclusion. So what does the Gemara say over there? So the Mishnah says in Beitz that you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim, items that are tamei on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not talking about like our Tevilas Kalim, where when you buy something from a Nachri. It used to be when they were makbid on Tumen Tara, so you had things that were tamei that you had to take care of. So you're not allowed to be tovel them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maseches Beitza is not called by the Rishonim Beitza. It's not called Maseches Beitza. What's it called?
Yom Tov.
Maseches Yom Tov. Beya is because of. That's the Nosekelim on the side of Mishayis on the first page of Maseches Beitza. Say that maybe we should call it Beya because of Lishna Nakia, Lishna Maalia, because it's a nicer expression to use, so we call it by the Aramaic name. So some do, some don't, right? As a riot from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, whether it was ever called, whether Beitza was a word that was purposely mispronounced or not, maybe tzayim or machshir, whatever the whole story. So, but it's called Maseches Yom Tov. Why is it called Maseches Yom Tov? Because that's the Maseches Mishnayos that talks about Hilchas Yom Tov. So when it says Ein Matbili, you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim. So the Mishnah never tells us why, though. It doesn't identify the Isser. So the Gemara says, that's the Gemara's job, right? The Mishnah says that it's Asur. The Gemara says, why is it Asur? So first the Gemara says, oh, maybe it's because if you're being total Kalim, you know, it wasn't only like pots and pans and forks and knives that could become Tameh. You know what else could become Tameh? Your clothing could become Tameh, right? If you learn Tumah and Tahara, people had to be Tovel their clothing. We never have that experience of Toveling clothing, but when you know it, Tumah and Tahara, you have to Tovel clothing. What would be the problem with Toveling clothing on Shabbos and Yom Tov? What's the first thing you do when you get your clothing saturated and soaked? You squeeze it out, right? In fact, when you put your clothing in the washing machine, the last cycle, what the washing machine does with it, is it squeezes it out. So then you can put it in the dryer, and the dryer has a chance. But if it never went through that last cycle of squeezing it out, it would take the dryer hours and hours and hours to dry your clothing. Squeezing it out is how you get the bulk of the water out of it. So if you had to tovel clothing, people would squeeze it out, and that is a violation of Schita. Is Schita one of the office malachas of Shabbos? No, it's a told of something, right? So we got to figure out what it's a told of. Yeah, so, okay, so ain't Sham. So it's a told of something. So it would be a violation of Schita. So first the Gemara says, maybe it's a gzeira, you're not allowed to be Tovel Kalim, atu Tvilas Begadim, and Tvilas Begadim itself is also the day Schita. Then at the end of the sugi, the Gemara seems to conclude something else. The Gemara says, no. The problem with Tovel and Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov is that it's near a Kemisakin Kli. It looks like you're being masakin a kli. Here, this kli was not usable for you. You wanted to use this pot to cook up your truma food, but you couldn't because it was tameh, and now you toveled it, now it becomes usable. So even though physically it was fully intact and it was fully fine, but you weren't actually able to use it because it was tameh, now you're able to use it because you were mitaret. Nira kimasakin kli, that's the problem. It used to be tameh, now it's tahar. Nira kimasakin or masakin? Meaning, why is that only near a kimasakin? That it looks like you're fixing it. You are fixing it. It was tameh, you couldn't use it, and now you're using it. So there are two slightly different versions of the end. What's the obvious explanation? Why is it not misakin mamish? There's no physical change, right? When you bring it to the mikveh, before you brought it to the mikveh, you know, if someone were to look at the pot and say, like, is this pot in tip-top shape? Bang on it, see if the handle is loose, right? You'd be like, yeah, it seems like it's in tip-top shape. It seems like it's perfectly good. And then you put it in the mikveh and you take it out. Same thing. See, it seems exactly the same as it was before. So physically, it's perfectly the same. So it's not real tikkun. It's only near a kimasakin. But there are two slightly different variations of how to say that chilek exactly with a possible nafkamina. Meaning, again, the basic chilek clearly is that real masakin is when you physically fix something. Near a kimasakin is when you spiritually fix something. So the Minchas Chinuch says that the halachic tikkunim are not a violation of makah bepatish, not a violation of tikkun mana. Meaning the there is an issue called tikkun mana which is related to makah bepatish, malacha and Shabbos, but spiritually or metaphysically fixing something where physically you haven't fixed anything, it's not makah bepatish. We only look at things from a physical perspective. Halacha is based on a physical metzius. When in other areas of halacha also, you have a concept called, let's say I go to your computers, I take Akiva's computer and I just smash it, I break it into two pieces. Right, so I'm going to be chayiv to pay for that. That's hezek, that be odayim, right? Even if I do it by accident, you know, I just walk by because I get so excited about the shir and I knock over the computer. Adam will the olam be mishogig and miz, I have to pay for it, right? So that's physical damage. What if, though, you're a kohen and you have truma and I'm not happy with you, right, for whatever reason, right? What if you're a kohen and Caleb keeps asking you to daven and you keep saying no? So Caleb's like, all right. And he finds a dead sheretz and you know, by the lake over there. He finds a dead frog is not one of the Shemona Shvatzim, but whatever. He finds a dead mouse or something, and he brings it to your truma. He drops it on your truma, then he takes it off of your truma, and he throws the dead mouse away. So now your truma has become tameh. Is there anything wrong with your truma physically? That's fine. He didn't leave mouse droppings on it. He cleaned up after himself. He wiped it off afterwards, right? It was on your truma apples, and he cleaned them all off. He washed them. They're all fine. They're physically perfectly fine. But they are tameh. So what do we call that in Shas? Hezek she'enu nikar. Right? A hezek she'enu nikar, a damage that's only a halachic damage, is a lav shmei hezek. You don't have to pay for a hezek she'enu nikar. So a hezek she'enu nikar is lav shmei hezek, like, or being menaseh yeno shel chavero. You have wine, you're so proud of your wine press, and you're, you know, that's one of the things rich people do, is now they buy vineyards and whatever. So you, it's one of the new hobbies that people picked up during COVID. You could say, based on their financial, you know, so some people just, I bought a vineyard, you know. So like, so if you, so you have all this wine. So I'm jealous that you have all this delicious wine and you own a vineyard. So I go and I'm a nasich l'avodazara. I take some of your yayin. I'm a nasich l'avodazara. So that's a classic example. Hezek she'enu nikar metami tarosuf shel chavero. So the Mishnah says you have to pay, but it's a machlokas amoraim whether it's min haTorah that you have to pay like adam amazik, or it's only knas midraban, because hezek she'enu nikar lav shmei hezek. If hezek she'enu nikar lav shmei hezek, it's not called hezek, then the only chiyuv to pay would only be a knas midrabanan. The point of dispute is about that. It's hezek she'enu nikar. So similarly, says the Milchas Chinuch, the old hezek she'enu nikar lav shmei hezek. Maybe you could say a similar thing over here, that melechas makah bepatish is when you physically did something. You physically finished something off. If you spiritually fix, it's the opposite of hezek, right? Hezek would be hezek she'enu nikar is you spiritually destroyed it. Over here, you're spiritually fixing something. You're being metaher the kli by toveling it in a mikvah. So if hezek she'enu nikar doesn't count, a tikkun that's purely spiritual would not count. A physical tikkun would count, and that's why it's only nira kimisakin. That's one way of saying it. There's a slightly different way of saying it, based on the sugya mesecha sukkah. Anyone ever learned sukkah? What? Picking off the berries from the hadassim, right? Let's say you have hadassim, and the halacha is that if it has too many berries on it, the hadas is possible. You're not allowed to use it for the mitzvah. So can you pick off the berries on yantif from the hadas? Is that a violation of anything? So the sugya and sukkah daf lamed gimel discusses berries on a hadas. You'll never see berries on a hadas, because when you buy hadasim, how do hadasim come? A package, right? How did they get into the package? Because someone looked at them. If someone looked at them and they saw they had berries, they would either pick off all the berries or throw out that hadas and take the next one. But it is a natural thing that many hadassim will have berries on them. If you were to just take wild hadassim, so many of them would have berries on them. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to remove the berries because it's nira kimisakin. The Mordechai, however, has a girsa where he says it's misakin mana mamish, because you're fixing the hadas and you're making a kosher. So it's not nira kimisakin. It's misakin mana. You're making it a kosher hadas. It was a pasul hadas, now you're making it a kosher hadas. Well, wait a second. You physically fixed it or you spiritually fixed it? Spiritually, it was pasul, now it's kosher. That's the only tikkun you did. It was kosher, now it's pasul. It was pasul, now it's kosher. So you spiritually fixed it. So the Mordechai says, no, that's called tikkun mana. Why is that called tikkun mana and toveling a kli is not called tikkun mana? You're physically doing something. You're physically changing it to spiritually fix it. Meaning, so that's like an in-between case, right? There's like metami taros of shel chavero, or toveling a kli, which is purely spiritual. Nothing physically changes about the kli when you tovel it. Then there's like makam patish, where you're building an aron and then you put the last hammer, you know, the last nail in it. So you physically fixed it and you physically made it usable. And then you have that in-between case. You have a case where you physically changed it to make a spiritual impact. So that's how the Mordechai seems to assume that would be considered, that you physically that's called a real tikkun. So even though there's so the difference between that and tefillas kelim is that there's absolutely no physical change in the kli from before tefillah to after, but by the hadas there's a physical change. So the physical change is only important because of halachic reasons. So that would be a real makah bepatish midoraisa, says the Mordechai. Milchas Chinuch would disagree. He says no. Even if there's a physical change, as long as it doesn't matter in the physical world, that change is not a physical tikkun. It may be a physical change, but that physical change is not a physical tikkun, then it would not be makkah v'patish. Okay, so two different ways, two different slight variations of how to say why toveling something is not really makkah v'patish. It's only nira kimisakin, right? But we're still in the Gemara Beitza, that it's nira kimisakin to tovel something. Yeah? L'chora, yeah, L'chora, that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, meaning, are we focused on whether, when we say that you have to do something physical, are we focused on doing something physical or achieving something physical? So, now, everybody agrees, Tevilas Kelim on Shabbos Olim Midrabanan. Machlokas, whether removing berries is Daraisa Drabanan. Fine. So the Gemara in Beitza, back to the Gemara over here, right? So the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Yud Ches, asks, wait a second. It's an Isser Drabanan to be Tovel Kelim. Why? Because it's near Kimisakein. And why is a person allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Shouldn't that also be near Kimisakein? You have a tummy person to go to the mikvah, now they're Tahar. Why isn't that near Kimisakein? Now, if you were writing the Gemara, we don't get to write the Gemara, but if you were writing the Gemara, how would you answer that question? Meaning, Nira Kimisakin is a gezeira, right? Because it looks like you're doing the Yisra Dorais of Tikkun. It's similar enough to the Yisra Dorais of Tikkun. When I'm fixing a chair, right? So is there an Yisra Dorais to be done? Yeah, if I actually make a chair, then I've done an Yisra Dorais. So when I tovel a chair that was otherwise tamei, it's nira kimisakin, because it looks like I'm doing a tikkun. So it's similar to the Yisra Dorais, right? Of tikkun. However, how are you misakin a person? Is there even such a thing as being misakin a person? Meaning, what would the Doraisa look like? That we need to make a Darabana unless you come to be misakin a person. What does it mean to have a broken person? If the person is broken, you can't put him back together. Right? I mean, there is no Isra of Makkah B'Patish on a person. It would seem, at least, that there's no Isra of Makkah B'Patish on a person. It's not so posh that that's true. Ksubis people? No? Anyone in Ksubis is here? Makkah B'Patish on a person? Dam B'Sulim? Maybe. Yeah, good. Also clean, right? Mappas Morsa B'Shabbos? Right? So it could be that that's Makkah B'Patish? Okay, so maybe there is Makkah B'Patish on a person. Anyway, it's not where the Gemara goes with this. The Gemara assumes that there would be a violation of... You know, the Gemara asks the Kasha, why is it you're not allowed to Tovel Kelim on Shabbos when you Tovel Kelim on Shabbos is near Kimisakein, but you are allowed to Tovel people on Shabbos? So, yeah. So that's the Kasha that the Gemara has. So the Gemara answers by saying, no. Nira kimisakin means that if someone were looking at it, they would get the impression that you're fixing something. If I see a person on a hot day go swimming in a cold mikveh, or a cold lake, which, as we know, is the same, right? If I see someone, I think he's going banana boating. I didn't realize that he's really, till he waves the flag, you know, to show victory, right? What? And that's what I meant. That's I assume that he's just going banana boating. It's near Kimekar. It doesn't look like he's going to fix himself. It looks like he's going to just enjoy the cold water on a hot day. So that's why it's mutter, because it doesn't look like misakin. The whole is there's only Nisra Drabanan, because it looks like you're being misakin something. It doesn't look like you're being misakin something when it's a person that goes to the mikveh. Meaning, really, Tikkun Kli should have applied to Adam, but because there's a reason that people won't see it that way, so it's not Nira Kimisakin. You know, it's a similar svara to what Poskim say about sitting in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres when it's cold outside. Right? The Gemara comes to a clear conclusion whether you're supposed to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not a shayla. It's also to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael. But in Chutz La'aretz, right? So what's the halacha? What's the clear conclusion of the Gemara? Do you sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres? Yisuvi Yisvinu Bruchel and Brachim. You sit in Sukkah, you don't say a bracha. So why don't you say a bracha? So you don't say a bracha because it is Shmini Atzeres, which you're not chayiv in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. We're only sitting there because it's Safik Shvi, because it might still be Hoshana Rabbah. So it would be a chutzpah to Shmini Atzeres. It's near a kemosif. It looks like you're violating Bal Tosif if you say a bracha on Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. So we don't say a bracha. But isn't sitting in the Sukkah itself, isn't that near a kemosif? So it wasn't out. Sukkaso areva alav. It's people sit in gazebos all the time. Why do they right outside? There are kids sitting in gazebos right now. People sit in these makeshift structures and they enjoy the fresh air and they do that all the time. It doesn't look like you're doing a mitzvah. It looks like you're just enjoying the fresh air. That's what some of the poskim say, that it's true that a mitzta'er is pater from sukkah when it's really, really rough to be out there. But maybe, even if it's just slightly uncomfortable to be in the sukkah, maybe that would be reason enough not to sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because the whole head to sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres is that it's Sukkah Sarevalam, that it looks like, you know, you're just enjoying yourself. But once you do something, once it gets to a point where it doesn't look like that, where no one enjoys themselves in that way, then it's you don't have the svar of Sukkah Sarevalam anymore. You don't have the svar that it looks like you're enjoying yourself, and then it's near a kemosif. So a similar idea, that nirakim misakin is only if it looks like you're being misakin, but if it looks like you're just enjoying yourself, so then it's not nirakim misakin. So that's the Gemara's answer. Good. Now, the Rama writes that some people wouldn't allow women to be toveled in a mikvah on a cold Friday night because of this very svara. When do you have nirakim mekar? Only if it's kishmak, right? But if it's 20 below, when you live in Russia, and you cut a hole in the ice, and you know, in the lake, and you go to the mikveh, no one looks at that and is like, oh, it must be so geschmack. You know, like, it's like, I hope the person survives, right? Meaning it's not, so the Rama writes that there was a minhag that they wouldn't allow people to be tovel in a mikveh on a cold Friday night, because you can't say nirkamekar. So they held that if it's a lel tevila, then they would rely on nirkamekar. But if it was not a lel tevila, and she just delayed the lel tevila, the Rama quotes a minhag, and we don't allow her to go, since it's not really near a kamekar. Trumas Hadeshen in Simon Shun and Hay says that not only that, if a woman could have gone before Shabbos, she shouldn't go to the mikvah on Shabbos because of tikkun mana, right? Meaning that's the same line. Trumas Hadeshen says that. We're going to be makil that it's near Kamekar if the time that she's supposed to go is Shabbos. But if she really should have gone Thursday night and she just got busy and didn't, we're not going to let her go on Shabbos. Because if it's her proper night, you know, then she can go. The mitzvah overrides the minhag. The Rama says that in places where the minhag is to be machmir for the Trumas Hadeshen, they should keep that minhag. They should be machmir. The Rama says an additional minhag, that if a woman goes to the mikvah on Motzei Shabbos, we ask her if it's really her lel tevila. Because even going on Motzei Shabbos involves a halachic compromise. This is a total parenthetical point. Even going on Motzei Shabbos involves a halachic compromise. Normally when a woman goes to the mikvah, or a ger for that matter, when they go to the mikvah, prior to going to the mikvah, they have to clean their body of any external substance. Take off, if there's a band-aid that left some glue, they have to clean off the glue, any nail polish, you can't have a chatzitza, you have to remove. So typically the chafifa, the preparation of the body before going to the mikvah, should be done right before you go to the mikvah. So on Motzai Shabbos, if you go on Motzai Shabbos, very often the chafifa is done Friday. So you're creating a certain distance between the chafifa and the tevila. We don't love that, but there's no option. So says the Rama, if a woman's lel tevila was really Thursday night, and then she wanted to go Friday night because she was too lazy to go Thursday night or she got busy or something, says Rama, there's a minute from the session, we don't let her go Friday night because it's not near, we're choshesh, it's not near a kamekar, and we don't let her go Motzei Shabbos because the chafifa is too far from the tevila. So we're going to push her back 3 days because of that. That's what the Rama writes in Hilchos Nida, which is an unusual chumba, right? It turned out Hillel Tevila is Thursday night, and then she gets late, she wouldn't be able to go till Sunday night. So we don't observe such minhagim, right? We're makel even if she could have gone before. The Aruch HaShulchan writes this in the Yardeis, Mekuv Tzadi Zayin, Simches, Shevet Alevi, Rav Azman, Chel Dalz, Mekuv Zayin. And Hilchos Shabbos itself, in Simchus Chavav, the Yeshel Avraham Mibachach. Who's the Yeshel Avraham Mibachach? Ram David Mibachach, right? He was Bachach Rav. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, because it's ridiculous, like men go to the mikvah on Shabbos. You can stop a woman from going to the mikvah on Shabbos. If a man goes to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, it's lunacy to tell a woman that she can't go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Not only that, many poskim were even making that you could heat the woman's mikvah on Shabbos. I mean, you're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos, but it could be warm water. Typically, you're not allowed to bathe in warm water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. But for women's tefillah, we allowed the mikvah to be warm on Shabbos also. Anyway, let's go back to our discussion. So all of this is a big way of introducing the kasha that all the Rishonim ask, right? What's the kasha that Rishonim ask? What did our Gemara say again? Let's remind ourselves. We're learning Gemara, we're learning Gemara. Yeah? So what did we say over here? That you want to be Tovah L'Ger on Shabbos, the halacha is that, it's Tukinah Gavri. You're not allowed to do it because you're fixing the person. That if Tevila is really important, which we paskin it is, so then you can't do it on Shabbos Tukinah Gavri. So what's the kasha that Rishonim say? If you learn the whole Sugi Maseches Beitzah, it says that, no, it's no problem. Even if a person is tummy, they can go to the mikvah, because going to the mikvah looks like they're just going banana boating. They're just going for a swim. They're just going to cool off on a hot day. It doesn't look like a tikkun. So all the Rishonim asked the stira that how could it be that the Gemara Maseches Beitzah says that it's near a kemeger and it's not a problem. And over here in Yevamos it says that it's tikkun egavra. So that is the question. Four different approaches in the Rishonim. Four, it's arba shehim Sheish probably, but let's start, four basic approaches. Approach number one is, when you have, there are two ways to look at things. When you have one Gemara that says A and another Gemara that says B, you can look at it and say, ooh, I have a stira, or you can look at it and say, no, I have a machlokas. I have machlokas. And what do I do if I have machlokas? I got a paskin one way or the other, right? I got to figure out which Gemara I'm going to paskin like. Meaning, ain't a chenami. This Gemara in Beitza says one way. This Gemara in Yevamos says another way. So let's figure out which Gemara you want to paskin like. So how do you figure out which Gemara you want to paskin like? So it's tricky, right? Meaning that there are rules. Maybe one Gemara is really based on the Stam Mishnah. Ooh, that would be powerful. Maybe one Gemara is an Amora that is several Amora, whereas a Stam of the Gemara, and the other Gemara is a Das Yachid. Maybe one Gemara is from earlier Amoraim, and the other one's from later Amoraim, which would mean what? You'd paskin like the later ones, right? You'd have to look at klalei psak. There are rules of how to paskin when you have a stira in Gemara. So the Rif does not quote this din of our Gemara that you're not allowed to be tova l'ger on Shabbos. Just doesn't quote it. So Shulta Giborim says, yeah, because it's a machlokas asugis, and he paskins like the Gemara Maseches Beitzah, and not like the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. He holds near a kemekar, it's mutter to do tevil on Shabbos. Nira midivir Rabbeinu, says the Shulta Giborim, shehishmit isru tefilas ger b'Shabbos, who leaves out the din of tefilas ger b'Shabbos, deger shaper dami litvol b'Shabbos lichatchila. That it's no problem to be tovel ger on Shabbos. V'chein pasku alachas gedolos to matvilas nosa lichatchila b'Shabbos. Umay v'nikas lichatchila ein matvilas nosa b'Shabbos imitvilu arei zeger. The Rambam says different. Okay, but we'll get to the Rambam later. Now, since we have women using a mikvah Friday night, so we're going to allow a ger to be tovel as well. Why should we be any different? Right? A woman goes to the mikvah Friday night. The mikvahs are open Friday night. There are only two nights a year that the mikvahs are closed for women, and they are Tishba and Yom Kippur, right? The two nights a year where there's an Isra Tashma Shamita, because it's one of the Chamesh Inuyim, right? So there's no point of a woman going to the mikvah on a night where there's not going to be Tashma Shamita anyway, because it's one of the Chamesh Inuyim, right? When they tell little children in school that they're Chamesh Inuyim. There's eating and drinking. Eating and drinking is one. They just don't want to tell them about Tashma Shamita. But that's how the Shulchan Aruch Gemara understands the Rif. That the Bach says similarly in Reish Samach Ches Ozayin over here in Yom Kippur, in the name of the Smag and the Bahag, and he says that's the sheet of the Tur and the Rif and the Rush. Meaning this is not just like some outside sheet. These are like major players in the area of Pesach Halacha. That the way many of the Achronim understand. The reason the Rif left it out is because the Rif, the Rush, the Tur, the Bahag, the Smag all hold that we don't paskin what it says here in Yevamos, and if we want to be Megayer and Ger on Shabbos, Gezunta, hey, go and be Megayer and Ger on Shabbos, be wonderful. Karen Ora says, come on, can't be. Can't be that the Rif holds that it's Mutter Litvol the Shabbos. It's an explicit price so that it's Aser. There's a stum of the Gemara in Beitza. I have a Brisa here in Yevamos. Remember we said you have to figure out which way to paskin? Brisa beats your Maimra. right? In Yevamos. I mean, in Beitza. Have a price in Yevamos is going to beat out your Memra in Beitza. So the real reason the Rif doesn't bring the halacha is, says the Karanora, is because it's obvious. Of course. That's a little tricky, right? Why is that a little tricky? That's the Rif's whole job, is to quote even the things that are obvious. Meaning, he just takes out all the machlokas and he takes out all the extra stuff and he gives you what the halacha is. He was writing halacha sefer. Can't leave out every halacha that he thought was obvious. Plus, when there are people that will say it's not true, it's very hard to convince me that it's obvious. You know, that it's so true that it's obvious. Meaning, because it obviously wasn't obvious to everybody. So it's a difficult sell to say that that's why. Chalkas Yoav, we've quoted Chalkas Yoav, right? Chalkas Yoav, Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Chalkas Yoav wrote Tshuvas. He also wrote a wonderful kuntros called Kavod HaKashiyasa. You ever see the Kavod HaKashiyasa? You know what it is? Kavod HaKashiyasa, it's an expression that Chazal have called Kavod HaKashiyasa about a kav. A kav is a measure of kash, of like straw. But he used it as a melitza. He wrote a book, a kuntros really, of 103 questions that he has. That he can't find an answer to. The only thing the 103 questions have in common, they're on topics ranging all over Shas. The only thing they have in common is that he doesn't have an answer to any of them. So he called the book Kava Kuf Beis Aleph Gematria 103 to Kashyasa. 103 kashas, not, you know, a kav of straw, 103 kashas, which is a brilliant ploy, by the way. Meaning, it's a great shtick, right? Because if you're a Jew and you put out a sefer where you say, here, I have 103 questions and no one in the world has answers to these questions, what have you pretty much guaranteed? That other people will write svarim that are commentating on your sefer, right? Because everyone is going to try to say, what do you mean there are no answers? So there's a kavod de terutza, kavod de nechusa, kavod de yeshuva. There's, right, everyone came out with it. There's like, became a whole cottage industry to write svarim to answer the kashas of the kavod de kashyasa. Brilliant, brilliant move. So it's a great shtick. But the Chalkas Yoav in Madura Tinyana, Simen Ches, Madura Tinyana means volume 2. He wonders why we can't be Tova L'Gera on Shabbos. He says, forget it. Let's say it's Asr. Let's say it's a violation of Chil Shabbos to Tova L'Gera on Shabbos. Let's say it's Tikkun Manet, Nira Kimasaki, whatever you want to say. Yeah. What?
He's not having Shabbos. He's a ghost, though.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that in a moment. Says Chalkas Yoav, he says, even if it's a violation of something, right, he's becoming a Jew while he's doing this, but, you know, but even if it's a violation of something, says Chalkas Yoav, let's say someone's dying on Shabbos, are you allowed to, be Mechal Shabbos to save him? Are you allowed to get in the Hatzalah ambulance to go save him? Yeah, why? So the Gemara gives a few reasons. So Sugit Niyad Yuma, a few reasons. One of the reasons is, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos so that someone will have the opportunity to observe many Shabbos. So says Chalkas Yoav, this is like a classic Chalkas Yoav. I mean, it's always like outside the box, you know? Like everyone's focused on, is it Nira Kimasaki? And he says, of course it is. It's Nira Kimasaki. It's Mutter anyway. Right? Why is it Mutter anyway? Because you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order that someone should be able to be Shomer Shabbos Sarbe. You're trying to make him a Jew so he can be Shomer Shabbos Sarbe. As a guy, he's not even allowed to be Shomer Shabbos, so you want to make sure he can be Shomer Shabbos Sarbe. Good, you're allowed to do that. That's his kasha.
Wouldn't it only be one Shabbos then? You can just do it
multi Shabbos. Yeah, okay, maybe. Every moment of the Shabbos, whatever. Meaning, let's say you're going to save someone who's not going to survive many Shabbos. He'll survive this Shabbos. Still, you'd save him probably.
But I'm saying, it's according to the Chalkas Yoav we did the other day, is that even if it's Motzikol, he's not Chayv in Shabbos yet because he's not Jewish yet.
Right, okay. True. Right. Yeah, I think he discusses all this. But he writes that there's a Machlokas Tanaim Yuma Daf Pehe, why were Mechal Shabbos to save a life. So one of the Svaras in Yuma Pehe is Mutzvah Shechal Shabbos Achs Kedei Shishmer Shabbos Sarbe. Better to be Mechal one Shabbos and he'll be able to observe many Shabbosos. It would follow that we should be allowed to be Tovel Ger on Shabbos, even if it is Aser. Kedei Shishmer Shabbos Sarbe. But he says, maybe that's the Machlokas Rishonim here. Maybe this discussion, why did the Rif say that you're allowed to Tovel Ger on Shabbos? Not because the Rif is paskening against the Gemara in Beitza. Of course, the Gemara in Beitza is right. Not because the Rif is paskening against our. Why did the Rif leave out our Gemara? Not because he paskens fundamentally that it's mutter to topple on Shabbos. Fundamentally, it should be aser. It's only mutter because kadesh yishmer Shabbos asarbe. So he says like this: both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda were talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva does not hold the mutter of chal Shabbos achas kadesh yishmer Shabbos asarbe. Rabbi Akiva says, you know why you're allowed to go on that tzala ambulance? V'chay behem v'lo sheyamus behem. Gzeres hakasa v'chay behem. That's Rabbi Kiva. Both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda are talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. He doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh's mutav sheichal Shabbos echel k'deish yishmer Shabbos arbei. So they're not going to allow toveling on Shabbos, and that's why they're going to be machmir in our Gemara. You can't be tovel ger on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh would hold they actually can be tovel on Shabbos, even if it does involve a violation of Shabbos because mutav sheichal Shabbos achas. The Rif and the Rash must hold that you could be tovel ger on Shabbos because they pass like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. The Rambam says you can't be tovel ger on Shabbos is l'shitaso because in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel he quotes v'chai behem like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, if you followed it, good. If not, you know, if you followed it, then you understand how the Chalkas Yov's brain operates. And if not, you didn't miss anything in our sugya because it's like, you know, whatever. Okay, so that's approach number one. So approach number one is the Rif. Again, Shaila was, we have a stira between the Gemara Maseches Beitza and the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos says it's a violation of Tikkun Gavra, of Nira Kimisakin, to put a person in the mikvah on Shabbos, and the Gemara Maseches Beitza said it's not a violation, it's Nira Kimekar, so it's no problem. So answer number one is, what the Rif, that the Rif says, this isn't a stira, it is a machlokas, and therefore I have to paskin, and the way many of the Acharim understood the Rif, he paskins, he comes down on the side, that it is mutter. We paskin like the Gemara in Beitza, not like the Gemara in Yevamos. That is answer number one.
What is the Rif paskin by Shabbos?
By Yuma Pehe. So I think he paskins the Rif paskins Mutav Sheichal Shabbos Avsti Shishma Shabbos Arbe. Right, it's Dafka the Rambam that says not that way. The Rambam says V'chai Behem. So, second answer, Tos Yishanim. Tos Yishanim is a very, very straightforward answer. It says Tos Yishanim Yesh Lomar, Dilo Dami, Da Hasam Lavi Tikum Gadol, Kamahacha, Shabal Yedekim Latoris Yadus. He says, Nira Kimisakein means it looks like you're fixing something. If a guy just is tummy and goes to the mitzvah, what did you fix already? He was a perfectly functional Jew beforehand, he's a perfectly functional Jew now. Okay, so he couldn't eat Truma before. All right, like details. When you're toveling a ger on Shabbos, what are you doing? You're taking a person who is a nachri, who's chayiv in only sheva mitzvos, who doesn't have kedushas Yisrael, and you're turning him into a Jew with kedushas Yisrael and tarryag mitzvos. Alamailas. It's a huge change. Nira kibasakin is going to be a problem when it's a big tikkun. If it's a little tikkun, we'll rely on Nira Kimekar. You know, if all you're doing is making a minor adjustment in the guy, you're tweaking one little thing, so okay, the svara of Nira Kimekar is enough to overcome a minor tweak. But if you're changing the whole mahus of the person, he has a Jewish neshama now, you're changing everything about the person, Nira Kimekar is not a strong enough svara to overcome that kind of tikkun. It's too big of a tikkun to rely on Nira Kimekar. So says the Tos Shonim. It's not just Tos Shonim. Ritva gives the same answer.
Is this a raya to the side of the prayer that we said? It was like to be the zero and be the zero, then together it all becomes one. Because otherwise it's not.
It's not so significant. Yeah. Not necessarily a raya because it's still bigger than just, you know, than just a regular tevila, because at the very least tevila would be making him Jewish, even if it's not making him not Jewish. Triple negative. It would still be making him Jewish. Yeah.
He uses the notion of tikkun gadol, but over there it's is the question tikkun gadol versus tikkun katan, or is it tikkun gadol versus nerek tikkun? As in,
no, meaning the reason it's meaning it's all nerek.
It's all nerek.
Yeah.
This is a tikkun,
Nira Ketikun God. Yeah. The third approach, which is probably the first approach everyone came across, because when you're living a Gemara, you look at Tosos, right? So Tosos says, in Dibra Maskel Tikkuni Gavra, very simple, that by Tfilas Ger, you're not going to say Nira Kameikar, because imagine, you see someone jump in the lake on Shabbos on a hot day, you say, oh, okay, the person wanted to cool down. You see a person standing there with three rabbis standing next to him, the guy's up to his neck in the water, and all of a sudden three rabbis start saying, are you makabel to do all the mitzvahs or whatever? And they realize that anti-Semitism was part of being a Jew. And you give him the whole chadgad. Yeah, he says, yes, I accept, I accept, I accept, I accept. Right, that's the way it works. And then, okay, boom, he goes under the water. That's not near Kamekar. It's obvious. The Beis Din's there. The presence of the Beis Din is obvious that it's he's converting. And therefore, the presence of the Beis Din makes it very much a near Kamisake, not a near Kamekar. Yeah, because he's using the Lashon of the Gemara later on. We'll have to get to that, which I bet Rav Sacks is going to get to tomorrow. But, you know, whether it's a Beis Din Tutu, but we'll get to that at some point also. Fourth approach is the Rambam. The Rambam's the most difficult one. Kedarko. Right? What does the Rambam do? On the one hand, he almost always follows the Rif, right? So it does seem like a steer in the sukkahs. So you would think that the Rambam would, you know, he'd paskin one way or the other, right? And, you know, it makes sense that if the Rif is paskining, how do we say the Rif is paskining? And which way is he paskining? That it's mutter, it's near Kamekar. So it sounds like the Rambam might be paskining that also, that it's near Kamekar. It wouldn't be near Kamisakin. But says Rambam, but you have a technical problem anyway. You can't total ger on Shabbos, not because he can't go to the mikvah, but because you can't have a yeshiva's Beis Din on Shabbos. There's a separate issue called having yeshiva's Beis Din. You're not allowed to have a tchilas din on Shabbos. And going to the mikvah is like a tchilas din. So as far as using the mikvah, and is it a tikkun gavra, does it look like a tikkun gavra, whatever, a meikil. That's the way many achronim say in the Rambam. A meikil. That's not a problem. But you have another problem that the Gemara never addressed. And that is that you're not allowed to have yeshiva's Beis Din on Shabbos. So the Rambam, Yisuri Bir Parakid Gimel Alachavav, since Tfilas Ger is Tzricha Beis Din, he can't be Matbil Ger, but Shabbos, Yom Tov, Belayla. He never says the words Tikkuni Gavra. Why? Because apparently he's not concerned about Tikkuni Gavra. Like the Rif wasn't concerned about Tikkuni Gavra, but he came up with his own concern that the Gemara never raised. Kasamishna says essentially this, right? That he agrees that Tfilas Ger B'Shabbos is near Kamekar, and therefore it should have been Mutter. But there's a tamchitzoni, there's an extra reason for it to be asur, namely that you need a basin. We don't have yeshiva's basin with Shabbos. It's a mission basin, taflamidvav, that ain't done in Bishamas. The Bach elaborates that even though the Gemara says tikkuni gavra, the Bach says, you know, all the achronim are bothered by the same problem with the Rambam. What's the problem? You can't just like write off the Gemara and make up your own reasons. The Gemara said why it's a problem. What did the Gemara say? Tikkuni gavra lo miskaninan. And the Rambam says, nah, it's because you're not allowed to yeshiva's beis in Mishav. So you can't do that. That's against the rules. So the Bach says that even though the Gemara says Tikkuni Gavra, since the Gemara ultimately concludes that a Geret Tzarech Shlosha, Kivin Shekatzu Bal Mishpat, the real reason is not because of Nira Kamisaki. Meaning to say, that, and the Aruch Lener spells this out, the Gemara at this point didn't yet know that you need a Beis Din for Tfilas Ger. And that's why the Gemara didn't entertain that possibility. So the Gemara was only entertaining the possibility of is it near Kamisake? Yeah, maybe it's Tikkuni Gavra. Once the Gemara comes to the conclusion that a ger mishpat ksiv bei and a ger needs shlosha, the ger needs a beis din. Oh, okay, now it's obvious why you can't be double a ger. You could even say it like this: they must have had a tradition that we don't do gerims on Shabbos, right? They've had gerims since Matan Torah, right? So they must have had a tradition that we don't do gerims on Shabbos. The Gemara was trying to figure out why. So the Gemara said, oh, must be because of Tikkuni Gavra. Problem is, that doesn't fit, because there's Gemara and Beitza against that. So maybe the way the Rambam learned it is, they were trying to figure out why, they suggested something, but what they suggested goes against the Gemara and Beitza. But once you have new information, that you're not even allowed to have a yeshiva, that Gerus requires a Beis Din, oh, now I know why. They can't do Gerus on Shabbos because you can't even use Beis Din on Shabbos. So forget what the Gemara said about Tikkuni Gavra. That's against the Gemara in Beitza anyway. So probably we should defer to the Gemara in Beitza. That's what the Aruch Lenaron says. The Aruch Lenaron also says that maybe you could understand the Rambam totally differently. That maybe what the Rambam really means is that the Rambam was passing like Tosos. That the reason it's not in Yerkim Maker is that the Beis Din is present. It has nothing to do with Yeshiva's Beis Din. What the Rambam really means to say is, because there is a Beis Din in there, don't tell me it's in Yerkim Maker. Everyone will be able to tell that you're trying to be Megayer the guy. The Taz seems to understand that way as well. It's very difficult in the Lashon of the Rambam, because that's what the Rambam says, right? The Rambam says, and that's why you're not allowed to do Kavus B'Laila and on Shabbos. So what? B'Laila is because of the Yeshiva's Beis Din, and on Shabbos is because of Tikkuni Gavra? Hard to read the Rambam that way. So the Taz points this out. I mean, the Ksos HaShulchan points this out, this difficulty in the Rambam. There is another possibility in the Rambam. Remember I said it's four approaches, but Arba Shem Sheish. The Ktzos HaShulchan suggests that the actual tefillah of the person is not Yerkim Misakim, it's Yerkim Meikar. The Gemara didn't say that a ger is not allowed to be tovel on Shabbos. This talks to your point, Betsy. It didn't say that a ger is not allowed to be tovel on Shabbos. Tikkun Gavra lo mitkanina. Who? The Beis Din. The Beis Din can't dump the guy in the mitzvah because they're not allowed to be misakin a gavra. Meaning, Echanami, Nira Kamekar is a svara that works if you want to go to the mitzvah. But for someone else to put you in the mitzvah, they're not cool enough. What motivation could they have to shove you in the mitzvah? Ooh, that's Tikkuni Gavra, Lomas Kanin. That's going to be the issue. That's how the Ksos Shulchan is sent to Rambam. That Yeshiva's Beis Din means that it's an Isra on the Beis Din. But it's an Isra, not because of you're not allowed to be Yeshiva's Beis Din on Shabbos. It's an Isra on the Beis Din in the sense that they're being Misakin a Gavra. Wow, okay, so let's take stock here again. So we have a stira between the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Beitza. Now the Gemara in Yevamos says you're not allowed to be Tovel Ager on Shabbos because it's Nirek Misakin. Gemara in Beitza says, of course you're allowed to be Tovel Ager on Shabbos, it's Nirek Meikar. Right? So we had four Rishonim that spoke about it. And then within the Rambam, we had like, I don't know how many possibilities. So what were the four Rishonim? So first you have the Rif, and the way the Rov Achronim understand the Rif, which is, it's not a Stira, it's a Machloka. So we pass on like the Gemara in Beitza, not like the Gemara in Yevamos, and therefore it's Mutter. Right? That's the Rif. Then we had the Tos Yishanim. What was the Tos Yishanim? How big of a Tikkun is it? Right? Nira Kemekar is a Svara that you could use to be Matir when it's a little tweak, a little Tikkun. When it's a big Tikkun, you can't use Nira Kemekar. Then and therefore it's going to be answered. Then we had Tosos. Tosos said Nira Kemekar is a great svara, except it doesn't work if you have a Beis Din sitting right there, because then it's not Nira Kemekar anymore. It only looks like you're cooling off if it's a guy going in the swimming pool. But if you have a Beis Din standing there, then it's not Nira Kemekar. And then you have the Rambam, where the Rambam seems to be saying that I'm not worried about going to the mikvah on Shabbos. I'm worried about having yeshivas Beis Din on Shabbos. That's why you can't have tefillah sker on Shabbos, because tefillah sker requires yeshivas Beis Din. But then within the Rambam, we had a few other interpretations of what the Rambam might have meant. But that's certainly the Pashut reading of the Rambam. Not worried about going to the mikvah on Shabbos, worried about yeshivas Beis Din on Shabbos. But then we said 4a, 4b, right? Other interpretations that maybe the Rambam really meant, like Tosfos. Maybe the Rambam really meant that, really said this way because the Gemara's conclusion is that you need Yeshiva's Beis Din. Maybe it's an Isser on the Beis Din because they're the ones that are being Misakin. Okay, all those various interpretations of what the Rambam actually meant.
So
it's hard to know when different conversations happened in the Beis Medrash. So he's suggesting, I don't think he has any raya, he's suggesting that this that this happened earlier in history. But yeah, the Gemaras are all a mess of different time periods. Yeah, someone once wanted to color code all the Gemaras in by generation, based on the Amoraim that are talking, so you can get a better sense of. It's very rare that it really matters that much, but suddenly changed their mind. All right. But wait a second. The Rambam's right, Lechora. Meaning, leaving aside whether the Gemara meant it, but the Rambam has a good point, no? Meaning, the Gemara goes to this whole discussion of, oh, you know why he can't do Keres on Shabbos? Because it's Tikkun Gavra, and he's fixing himself, he's changing it. The Rambam has a much simpler reason, doesn't he? Meaning, why didn't the Gemara think of the Rambam's reason? Rambam says he can't do Geiras on Shabbos because you can't have yeshivas basin on Shabbos. Is it true that you need a basin for Geiras? Yes. Is it true that basin is not Yoshev on Shabbos? Yes. It's a very shemishim on Beitza. Why didn't the Gemara think of that? How did no one else think of what the Rambam thought of? Yeah. The Tikkun Gavra is a chashash mitrabanan. This is a direct violation of an issur.
No, but the time that the Gemara brings, right, is because of Tikkun Gavra. So the Rambam says when he passes a lot, he says why? Because you can't have a beis din.
No, but if you go like Tosos, it's like this. It's because there's a presence of a beis din, that's why it's Tikkun Gavra. Don't get to that point. Because there's a beis din, and that's why you can't do.
Why would that be the
Etzim? Yeshivas Beis Din is Asar on Shabbos.
But why? But why?
That's why Yeshivas Beis Din is Asar. It has nothing to do with Tikkun Gavra.
The Beis Din is there for the
Kamal
Simitzos, not the
Tevila. Mechara. Yeah. Nikki Yushev. We're assuming they're there for the Tevila. Which we'll have to talk about that, right? Okay, maybe Rav Sacks will discuss it tomorrow. If not, even if yes, we probably will discuss it also. That's the premise of this discussion. We're assuming that the Beis Din's there for the Tevila.
Couldn't you say that ain't done in B'Shabbos, but there's no real din coming on?
Okay. So it is possible that the way the Rishonim understand the Isra of Yeshiva's Beis Din on Shabbos is that it's when Beis Din is judging something. When Beis Din is, you know, Reuven claims Shimon owes him $1,000, and Shimon says, "Nah, I only owe $50, whatever." That's ain't done in B'Shabbos. A Beis Din L'Gir is not done anything. There's no psak on the Beis Din L'Gir. It's not we hereby paskin that you're a ger. No, you were tovel and a couple mitzvahs in Mila in front of a Beis Din, you're a ger. They're representing the Shechina, right? Remember that Gina Segos? They're representing the Shechina. They're a stand-in for the Shechina. Why is the name done in B'Shabbos? Because the Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. Why is it Gzeir Hashem Yichtov? Because there's a Psak Din. So I need to explain myself. I need to write a tshuva, explain why we came to this conclusion, why we came to this Psak Din. So, but if there's no Psak Din, then there's no Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. If that's the case, L'chora, this machlokas between the Rambam and everybody else, is a machlokas whether there's an Isra of having yeshivas Beis Din when they're not paskening. Right, that all the other Rishonim would assume the Isra Yeshivas Beis Din is only Beis Din's paskening, so we're not worried about Yeshivas Beis Din for Geirus. Whereas the Rambam is going to say, no, any Yeshivas Beis Din, even if they're not paskening, is a problem, and therefore you cannot have a Yeshivas Beis Din for Geirus on Shabbos either. So it turns out that the whole machlokas, if this is correct, is whether the Isra of Yeshivas Beis Din on Shabbos and Yom Tov is usher for every kind of Beis Din, which the Rambam would say, or only usher for Psak, for Beis Din that's giving a Psak, which every other Rishon would say. So how do you figure out whether the other Rishonim are right or the Rambam's right? You need to find other cases of what? Where Beis Din sits and does not give a psak, and say, okay, are those things allowed on Shabbos? And if yes, if those things are allowed on Shabbos, we'll know all the other Rishonim are right. And if they're not allowed on Shabbos, we'll know that the Rambam is right. So where else does Beis Din sit? There's a yeshiva's Beis Din, but no psak of Beis Din. What? There are a number of cases. But we're in Mesach Zivamas. Chalitza. So, Chalitza, they're doing a Maisa Beis Din, they're not paskening anything. Tosos in Parag Mitzvah Chalitza asks on the Machlok Sun, there's Machlok Sun whether you need three or five Dayanim for Chalitza. So based on the pasuk and the number of times the pasuk says the word zakenim, the three dayanim, five dayanim. So Gemara says zakenim is plural. Ein bezin shakol mosif aleim od echad. So it needs to be at least three, right? The word zakenim is plural, so you know it's at least two. But you can never have two members of a bezin, so you always need three. So Tosfos says, why do I need a third dayan? Ein bezin shakol. Why is it that you need an odd number of judges on the bezin? Because they're going to be voting on something. Chayiv, but so you need to be able, you don't want an even vote, right? So it says by chalitza, they're just standing there. They're not voting on anything. They're just, you need Beis Din to represent whatever, the Shekhinah, whatever. Right? So why would you have a rule of Ein Beis Din Shakel? So Tulsa says, yeah, Ein Beis Din Shakel is like a low plug. We always have Ein Beis Din Shakel. But Tulsa is basically saying, in a chinami, Beis Din's not paskening anything. Right? The Bezin of Chalitza is not paskening anything. Are you allowed to do... So, Bezin for Chalitza, clearly, not paskening anything. They're just standing there. Are you allowed to do Chalitza on Shabbos? Halacha is you're not allowed to do Chalitza on Shabbos. But it's Machlokas Rishonim, why? Rashi says, because at the end of the Chalitza, you got to write her a document that says, you are here by a Chalitza, and you're free to marry whoever you want. And we're not going to be able to do that for her on Shabbos. Kseira Shem Yechtov. Which makes it sound like, yeah, but if we didn't have to write her a document, then what would Rashi tell me? Then it would be fine. Meaning, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with having the Bezin there. Having a Maisa Bezin without a Pesach Bezin is fine. Right? It's only because we would have to write her a document that would be problematic. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Kiva held that you don't need Bezin for Chalitza. And that's why... I'm sorry, and we don't pass on like Rabbi Kiva, who held the chalos ben alveinad beis hasurim. If a person does chalitza on their own, Rabbi Kiva held it was okay. We don't pass on that. We all do need beis din for chalitza. And Yerushalmi says that if you hold like Rabbi Kiva, that you don't need a beis din, then you can even do chalitza on Shabbos. And the reason we're not allowed to do chalitza on Shabbos is because you need a beis din. That's what Yerushalmi says. You know why you're not allowed to do Chalitza on Shabbos? Because you need Bezin for Chalitza. We possibly need Bezin for Chalitza. You can't have Bezin on Shabbos. So again, Rashi says, why can't you do Chalitza on Shabbos? But fundamentally, if it weren't for this document that we have to write at the end, would you be allowed to gather a Bezin for Chalitza on Shabbos? Yes. It's only a technicality. You have to write a document. We don't want you writing documents on Shabbos. We're afraid you might come to write a document. But actually having yeshiva's basin would be fine, according to Rashi. Yerushalmi says, no, you can't do chalitza on Shabbos because we paskin a basin needs to show up. And anytime a basin is there, you can't do that on Shabbos. What are they arguing about? Yeshiva's basin without a psak. If you have yeshiva's basin without a psak, is that mutter on Shabbos or not? Where Rashi's going to say it's mutter to do yeshiva's beis without a psak, like who? Like all the other Rishonim that weren't bothered by having yeshiva's beis, and they were only bothered about nira kimisake. And the Yerushalmi says that yeshiva's beis without a psak is aser, like the Rambam. So Yerushalmi is assuming the very existence of the basin is automatically included in the Gezeirah of Ein Danin, even though they're not paskening. There's one little piece that I still want to finish, which we're not going to have time for today, and that is, if you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, which you are, right? Meaning a woman goes to the mikvah on Shabbos, and we said, yeah, because it's near Kameikar. Let me ask you something. When the kids go swimming in the pool or the lake or whatever, you ever see someone before they go swimming? Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mezuzah V'Tzivanu. No, that's not how you go swimming. And if you're saying Asher Kiddushanu B'Mezuzah V'Tzivanu, what are you saying? That this is not Meikar. This is for a mitzvah. It would be the equivalent of what? Of having a Beis Din standing. I mean, Tulsa says it's not Nirga Maker because you have a Beis Din there. You know what else is not Nirga Maker? When you say a bracha! So does a woman say a bracha in the Lel Tevila? On Friday night? And if she does, how is that allowed? So maybe next time we'll talk about that a little bit before we move into the next topic. But that's a fascinating topic also. Okay, but not for right now. Yeah.